Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing today?
I'll level with you, Chris. It's a Sunday. I had half a bottle of wine last night, and I watched what can only be described as a really spooky film. Elizabeth Moss in a remake of The Invisible Man. It spooked the hell out of me. I've not seen anything of Elizabeth Moss since Mad Men. If you've never indulged, my God, what is wrong with you? It's the best television ever. And she is obviously a very accomplished actor. And wow. That spooked me. So I've not slept very well, if I have to say. It was either the red wine or the spooking.
I also watched a horror film the other day called Lake Mungo. It's a found footage film that was filmed in 2008, and then everyone forgot about it. But recently, a lot of reviewers, somehow it just came up. I think someone reviewed it, and it led to lots of people watching it. And it is so good. It's an Australian horror film about a family that loses their daughter, tragically. That's not a spoiler, that happens right at the start, and it's about basically how she keeps appearing in really unpleasant, disturbing ways. It's a found footage horror film that involves finding footage, and you know, there's unpleasant things in the background, but it's done so well because it's done in the style of a mockumentary, right? It actually feels like a real life documentary. And I think if you watched it without knowing that it was fiction, you'd think, oh my God, is this real? Because it's done that well. So I highly recommend checking it out, Lake Mungo. And actually, I looked for the film for about 2 days on the internet. I couldn't find it. Then I went on YouTube, typed in Lake Mungo, and somebody's uploaded the whole film onto
it.
YouTube.
Yeah.
So go check it out while it's still there.
Over on the football podcast I do, obviously there wasn't any football for quite a long time, and I was doing like a little film review sort of section. A lot of terrible football soccer films are up on YouTube completely free of charge that everyone can watch. It's hilarious.
It's amazing how much, like, there is a lot of stuff on YouTube that probably shouldn't be there, like Abroad in Japan, or your channel as well, Pete, for that matter.
Indeed.
So, you know, but no, check it out, Lake Mungo. It is good. And yeah, it turns the whole kind of genre on its head. It makes it it's just the best found footage film I've ever seen. But watching that mockumentary, it made me realise, right, for years, I've been talking about making a short film, right, and doing something like that. But it made me realize that I think I'd actually be better placed doing a mockumentary, because it's not too dissimilar from what I do now, right? I basically do kind of mini documentaries a lot, and I do that kind of style. So to incorporate kind of like comedy element and make it like a mockumentary, it wouldn't be too much of a stretch of the imagination for me. And I actually do have one idea that I've been thinking about. You might be aware that on YouTube, Day in My Life videos do really well, right? And there's a very popular genre. Like, if you have a day in the life video of anyone, it always does really well. And I've done two on myself, which weren't that interesting, to be fair, but they did quite well. But I figured, wouldn't it be interesting to do the day in the life of a Japanese hitman, and the hitman is Natsuki. as a film.
I mean, that would require you to make him learn lines, which I worry about.
Well, I don't know, really. I think if I could have, like, obviously we'd script it, there'd be a plan, there'd be a plot, and I would tell him what's happening, and he would speak in Japanese, so it wouldn't be, he'd have to do it in English or anything. It'd be set in Japan, it'd be like a 25-minute episode. Maybe it's a day in his life, and he's got like three or four targets he's got to take on. I just like the idea of doing a parody YouTube video and having like a just something kind of surreal and ridiculous, but also quite fun. But for me, this year I'm buying a new cinema camera. Like I'm upgrading my camera in a few weeks, and it's like a cinema level camera. So I should be able to pull it off. And if we, you know, if we spend a little bit of money on it and actually give it a really good production quality, I think it could be a lot of fun. And it could be the best, most misleading video. But it'll be there on YouTube, Day in the Life of Japanese Hitman, just casually there on YouTube. You click on it and you just witness Natsuki doing these horrific murders around Japan in these really methodical, calculated ways. And I've thought about it. Would he be a bungling assassin, aka would he just be Natsuki, or would he be like Natsuki playing someone else? And I think it's the second kind of option that I think would be more funny.
I think his home life, like his home life would be funny. Like maybe, you know, get Natsuki's good lady wife involved. You know, she could be telling him off and stuff at home. But, you know, he's thoroughly emasculated in every part of his life, apart from when he's being a hitman. I mean, look, it worked for Tony Soprano, the aforementioned Tony Soprano.
It's true.
But, you know, a man who's not in control of his life, apart from the times in which he's actually in control of other people's lives.
Brilliant. But there you go. Could it work, though? Could it work? What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Let us know at brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. It may or may not happen. I'm still thinking about it. I am taking it seriously, though. It would have a plot, a script, and I would channel a lot of the ideas I've had over the last few months into this video. It's a question of if it's worth it or not. I did actually speak to Natsuki about it. I sort of said to him, Natsuki, do you want to be in a video killing people? Is that a good idea? And he was like, yeah, I want to be a famous actor. And I was like, of course you do. Okay, we won't worry about that then. Let's have you murdering people brutally. In a funny way, in a lighthearted way.
He wouldn't mind, I think it's fair to say. So if there are any
famous
motion graphics supervisors, get in touch with Chris, because it sounds like you might need some help. If anyone knows how to do blood packets, who work with blood packets. Yeah. What for those of us who are slightly techie and geeky, what film camera are you going, have you got, or what camera are you upgrading to? Is it one of those red ones?
No, it's not a red one. I can't afford that. And even then, that's a bit overkill. There's a Canon EOS R5, which is... it's coming out, I think, in August, and it does 8K, but it's a full frame sensor.
You're going to buy a camera, a new model of camera on release, rather than waiting for all of the firmware problems to get ironed out. You're a madman. You're a wild man. You're insane.
I'm insane, but it's going to be worth it. Think about that. Natsuki killing people in 8K. What more could you want? I don't even know if YouTube does 8K. I think it does. It does now.
Yeah. And I'm sure your MacBook Pro is screaming until its vents turn red.
It is going to melt.
The idea.
It is going to melt. It's going to be bad. But to be fair, in my defense, I don't upgrade my equipment that much, even though the Abroad Japan channel was, you know, 1.5 million subscribers or something. You know, I haven't upgraded my equipment since 2017. I've got friends with channels with like 10,000 subscribers that like splash out on the newest, greatest, best equipment every week. And I've made do with a GH5 Panasonic since 2017. So I'm excited. This is a big deal for me. I'm going to upgrade the camera, probably going to get a new laptop so it doesn't melt, rendering 8K footage of Natsuki blowing cars up with Ryoto in. So it needs to be, you know, it needs to be good. It's going to be
I would very much enjoy doing a documentary about your new camera. And I'd sort of have it like the samurai who gets a new sword, Chris and his new camera, the trials, the tribulations, the soul searching, the apologies he has to make to his old equipment. Love it.
Like a samurai getting a sword. Are you referring to yourself, Pete? Because you did reveal last week that you're getting a samurai sword sometime in the near future.
Well, hopefully not near future, because it does involve the death of my auntie John, but she did. She's still very much with us. Covered in cats, loves a cat, is my auntie John.
Why don't she just give it to you now?
So she can enjoy me? I don't think she wants to see what I do with it.
Just like the idea of your auntie, who you're going to inherit this samurai sword, right? But clearly, surely she doesn't use it unless she's some sort of swordsman in her spare time.
Secret swordswoman. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
Just give it to Pete now. That's what I'm saying. Bye. This week we got an interesting message from a chap named Liam from Norway, and it's about Tabby Hordai. Now, what do you know of Tabby Hordai, Pete? What do you know about Tabby Hordai, Nomi Hordai, for our listeners that have never heard of these two concepts? The two most important words you should know in the Japanese language if you are coming to Japan are Tabby Hordai and Nomi Hordai. But what are they, Pete? Explain.
Tabby mas is to eat, and Nomi mas is to drink. So therefore, Tabby Hordai is all you can eat, and Nomi Hordai is all you can drink. And despite the fact that I do have the reputation of liking the odd drink, I am very much someone who would probably not fare as well on the drinking side, but I could definitely put it away when it comes to food. I reckon I could make a pretty decent fist at being a competitive eater. I think I've got the body for it.
I am not so sure. I've seen you do very well with Nomi Hordai. I've seen you drink a lot. I've seen you get your money's worth. For those that don't know, Nomi Hordai for about 1,500 yen, which equates to, what, $15 or about £12, you can drink all you can for about 90 minutes to 2 hours. And we got a story here, and the same applies to Tabby Hordai, right? You can eat as much as you can for about 3,500 yen to 5,000 yen at various restaurants, like a barbecue restaurant. Anyway, let's lead into Liam's story. So he says, "Hi guys, I'm Liam, a long-term listener and viewer from Norway. I've travelled to Japan many times over the years, and a safe bet I always like is all-you-can-eat yakiniku restaurants, barbecue restaurants. Cool. The food and beer is both delicious and cheap, but sometimes it seems like the prices and rules aren't really made for Western customers. Let me explain. I went to a barbecue place in Kyoto where the price of all-you-can-eat dinner was low, and all you can drink was only 500 yen extra. While I cannot remember if the restaurant had a tiered menu set where you can pay more for unlimited access to more of the menu, I can remember that we paid very little for access to everything, including their huge selection of Wagyu beef. Being amazed at the price and wide access to meat, we completely forgot to order vegetables. For the hour or so that we had free access to food, we four tall Europeans ended up ordering various pieces of Wagyu beef because of its value, while sampling various other pieces of meat on the side. It was near the last call that we realized that the all-you-can-eat offer was not designed for a Western audience. The kitchen had started rate limiting us, and we were still hungry. Tables around us started taking interest. A Japanese man in particular seemed to take more interest in watching us battle our appetites than the apparent date that he was with at the time. When we left, he cheered us on, presumably impressed by the sheer amount of appetite we had. In the end, we had a lot of stomach pains all round for the rest of the evening and had most likely ordered meat two or three times the value of the all-you-can-eat offer. We concluded that the offer was most likely made for people with smaller appetites who ordered a more balanced meal and don't beeline straight to the most expensive meat on the menu. My question to you is, what's your experience with all-you-can-eat in Japan? Is this type of experience usual, or did we find a poor restaurant that hadn't caught on to tourists with appetites yet? Liam from Norway." What do you make of that, Pete? Did he overstep the mark with his Wagyu consumption?
Yeah, I mean, I guess going straight for the Wagyu, I mean, I imagine it probably wasn't great A5 quality Wagyu, but I mean, that's an oily, like, you're going to end up with a stomach ache if you're putting, you know, rice, no kind of chips, no, you know, you're not lining your stomach with anything, and just throwing the oiliest meat you've ever eaten in your life down there. Your stomach is going to go, no, thank you. You're going to be pooing grease for the next 3 days.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I actually took my friend's birthday when we were in Kyoto once, about 3 or 4 years ago. And we went to a yakiniku barbecue restaurant and we got a course. I think it was about 5,000 yen each. And for that, you could just order. It was amazing. You get a menu, right, with loads of beautiful pictures of Wagyu on. And you just point at it and went, "I want that one." And they bring it. No matter how many times you point, they bring it over and over and over. But because, as you say, it's Wagyu and it is phenomenally oily, it's like eating butter, and you struggle to eat more than 300 grams of the stuff. And even 300 grams is a lot. You know, we didn't really eat that much at the end of it all. And they do try and pad out the all-you-can-eat tabehordo with various other things like cabbage and side dishes and stuff. They have a lot of side dishes to try and fill you up so you don't eat all the Wagyu. And I do think, as Liam said, that, you know, tabehordo, it is designed for Japanese people who know the limit. But I think for Western folks, we kind of just see tabehordo or nomehordo as a challenge waiting to be done, as a some sort of all-you-can-eat challenge, right? Well, it's not the case. I don't think I've ever been to tabehordo with you, though, Pete. Have we?
No, that would I reckon, with jet lag, that would sleep me right up if I was just eating. Is that kind of like, yeah. Was it like that place that you and Natsuki went to that had just a million balls of ramen? Or maybe just a really big ball of ramen? Or maybe just a really big pillowy kind of, what do you call those things? Like a big,
pillow.
Like a big pillow full of meat. Big pillow full of meat that's fried. What do you call those things?
I don't know what that is. Oh, gyoza.
In a Japanese restaurant for gyoza. Big fat gyoza that you guys ate. Yeah, it looks like a big pillow. That's what it looked like.
It was. Oh, the monster gyoza. I mean, that wasn't a tabehordo. That was just a giant fucking $200 gyoza dumpling that we had to try and eat. And I'd rather forget about that. That was the worst dining experience I've ever had. Don't eat the giant monster dumpling gyoza in Tokyo, folks. Do the monster ramen challenge. Don't do the dumpling. Are you thinking? No, I think you're thinking of wankasoba maybe as well. Wankasoba.
Yes,
where you have bowls of soba noodles, right? And you have to try and effectively shot as many bowls of noodles as you can. And it's said that a real man has to eat over 100 bowls. And it took me two attempts to get over 100 bowls, I think. No, that isn't actually tabehordo. That's just a challenge for foolish people.
It's just a challenge, people.
It's just a challenge.
It has an ending.
It does. Not a good ending either. I must say, though, nomehordo is so common. And if you are coming to Japan, you want to have a cheap night out. It's, you know, most chain restaurants do nomehordo. It is about 1,500 yen for 2 hours. And the last order is about 90 minutes in. So you've got half an hour to finish your drink, which is a little bit cheeky, I've always thought, because you could definitely cram in more drinks in that time. But by the time you've reached 90 minutes in, I find a lot of Westerners have already drunk like 25 drinks and they're being sick in a corner. But typically the special menu is kind of reduced options. If you go into a bar, if you go into a restaurant in Japan, you'll have a massive menu with about 200 drinks. But the nomehordo menu is typically, you know, about a third of that. But it's still good enough. And I think you and I did go to nomehordo the last time you were over, Pete, back in February. Went to a 1980s-style bar in Sendai where you drank various drinks off the menu and did a Russian accent when you were drunk for some reason. Don't know if you remember that.
Does that sound like...
It's on Instagram somewhere. Instagram story.
It's on there. It's up there. Yeah, I've been caught on a long lens, people.
But no, it's really cool. I have to say, nomehordo is amazing. And of course, the other place you get it is at karaoke as well. If you go to karaoke, which we have done as well in Osaka, that is another place you'll get it. Because typically, it's a fixed course karaoke. You go for 2 hours, you get nomehordo, you can drink as much as you can. And it's a dangerous mix. Although, to be fair, by the time you get to karaoke, you're already fairly drunk anyway, right?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, and if you're not, you're letting yourself down, quite frankly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As for tabehordo, it is rarer. The places you get it the most are yakiniki barbecue restaurants, like Liam went to, or teppanyaki grill restaurants, where they have a teppanyaki, nice big iron grill, and they grill food on it, like Wagyu. Now, typically, the price I find for a tabehordo course is somewhere between 3,500 yen to 5,500 yen, which is about, what, $35 to $55, £30 to £50, which is pretty good value for money, especially if it is meat. And I don't know why tabehordo is primarily meat dishes, but it is. Any idea why that is, Pete? Maybe it's because of the aforementioned getting full and getting sick of eating meat situation we discussed.
Maybe they just sort of see fish as being more less valuable and they can just run in at the sea and get some more. Limitless.
That's a good point, actually.
Limitless.
I've never been to a fish. I've never been to a fish tabehordo. I think it's because... meat in Japan is still eaten in quite small quantities compared to the West, right? We go to a restaurant in the UK or the US, particularly the US, and you get a slab of meat, a huge slab. Whereas in Japan, it's kind of fairly small, and people are happy with that. People don't like to go overboard with beef. So even if you do have a tabi hordai menu, people here just don't see that as like a challenge. They know their limits. They eat a more reasonable amount, which is the main reason tabi hordai doesn't really work in the West. Do you think it could work? Do you think tabi hordai could work in London?
Well, it depends. I think the timing is crucial. Mm. I think whenever I eat like Eastern food, they've obviously got a reputation of filling you up very quickly, and then about an hour later you're hungry again. I would say Chinese food is very much like that for me. I will have already put my Chinese food in the fridge and then realized, oh, I'm kind of hungry again, and I'll bash through a colder version of what I've just eaten. So yeah, as long as I kick people out in 90 minutes, I reckon they could still do it it's got like quite, I don't know, salty food. I don't know.
I just think people would just get a massive plate, cover the plate in as much food as they can carry, and like haul it back to their table.
It's Toby
and
Carvery,
like eat it really quick. Oh yeah, I suppose we have a Carvery. Can't be a good old roast dinner Carvery. That's the same thing. Yeah, and I do that whenever I'm back. But there is there's a KFC that launched in Tokyo last year. I think we talked about a few years ago. A KFC in Osaka had a tabi hordai menu, and it was really popular. And then at the end of 2019, they launched a KFC tabi hordai permanently in Tokyo, where for 90 minutes and 2,580 yen, you can eat as much KFC chicken as you can stuff yourself with. And for an extra 1,200 yen, you can drink alcoholic beverages or you can drink as well. Now, is that a good deal or what? That is pretty good.
It's an amazing deal. But I mean, so what's that? 2,580 yen, what's that, £22?
$25, £20.
Yeah, £20 for unlimited for 90 minutes KFC. But the problem is my favourite meal in KFC is the spicy wings. So I just start on the spicy wings, and they're a lot smaller. They absorb a lot of grease and oil, and it's like, I think I'd probably die. Almost instantly.
You would die.
I would die.
I do love a good KFC, but after like four or five pieces, I'm done. I feel pretty rough.
Yeah. You don't even mind that.
It's a great idea, right? Because you think, 90 minutes, 2,500 yen. Watch me butcher all the food in KFC, no problem. But then after the first 30, 40 minutes, when you're going up for the third or fourth time, you are starting to wish that you'd never eaten that much. And you know that 90 minutes is going to be more than enough. You know your limits. I've thought about going down there. I've thought about taking Natsuki and doing like a challenge that would be a lot more fun, admittedly, than the Monster Gyoza challenge that we discussed earlier. So that'd be quite fun. But KFC tabi hordai, check it out if you're in Tokyo. I think it's about 30 minutes from Shinjuku. I'm not entirely sure on the location. And as I am trying to be healthier this year, to be fair, I probably won't be going anytime soon. I'm trying to
probably
stay
for the best,
fit. Yeah, probably for the best. But they got the whole history of nomi hordai, tabi hordai, comes from Sweden, believe it or not. They were in 1950s, the Japanese were inspired by the Swedish smorgasbord concept and basically imported it. And I think it first took off as a kind of breakfast buffet concept in hotels before becoming popular in restaurants during the kind of when the Japanese economy was booming and people were throwing money everywhere. But now it is widely everywhere. It's widely accepted. It is in pretty much every other izakaya, especially chains. So do it. If you come to Japan, go for it. And it's important. There are some rules. There are some rules as well. Number one, these are the three rules of nomi hordai. Number one, be aware that the nomi hordai deal often does come with a cover charge, right? So if you go into a nomi hordai restaurant, you do have to pay somewhere between 500 to 1,000 yen just to have a seat at the restaurant. Right. And they will ask you to buy like one food dish per person if it's just a all-you-can-drink restaurant or an all-you-can-drink bar. So you do have to still kind of buy some food to try and make up for it. There is a time limit, 90 minutes or 120 minutes. This can't be extended, so do keep an eye on the time. It's not like you can reach the end of your 2 hours and then just do it all over again. More often than not, after that time limit, you have to leave the restaurant. You have to go. So bear that in mind. And finally, if you do go with a group of people, like three or four people, everyone in the party, everyone in that group has to do the nomi hordai or the tabi hordai course. Okay. You can't pick and choose, which kind of makes sense if you think about it, just for simplicity, and people can cheat and order all sorts. So, yeah, that's it. The three rules. And with that, use your newfound discovery of Nomi Hordai and Tabi Hordai wisely. Eat, drink, be merry, come to Japan and get your money's worth.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And with that, let's turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
We have got a message from George, who says, "Hello, Chris/Pete. Like many of your listeners, I hope to one day visit Japan and see all it has to offer. However, possibly due to too much lockdown-induced free time, I've spent an unnecessary amount of time reading about bears and bear attacks on humans in Japan. Consequently, I've developed a perhaps irrational fear of being attacked by a bear during a future trip. Whilst I don't think this would prevent me from visiting Japan completely, I'd hate for my bear troubles to stop me from visiting rural areas or from seeing some of the more isolated areas of natural beauty. So my question is, have either of you had any bear encounters during your time in Japan? Has it ever weighed on your mind that you share a country with these terrifying creatures? And to what extent should I let my fear of being eaten alive shape my future trip to Japan? Wishing you a bear-free 2020 and beyond, George." I do wonder where George is from. Does he, presumably nowhere particularly rural. I don't know.
Nowhere with bears?
A bearless country.
Bearless country. Like,
I mean, you've kind of experienced, you've been bear adjacent, haven't you? I don't think you've ever seen anyone live, but there's certainly been a situation where like a tour guide's had to ding a bell to ward off any bears, but not surprise them.
Yeah, it was the place where the North Korean missile flew over in 2017 when we're in the rainforesty type location, Shirakami Sanchi. Beautiful area, but there's a lot of bears. And yeah, the guy had some sort of bear pepper spray and a bell, and he rang the bell. The idea being that if you turn a corner and there's a bear there, they will fuck you up. But if you ring the bell, let the bear know you're coming, the bear will be like, "All right, how you doing?" And they'll walk off and it'll be safe. Hopefully that's how the altercation would go down. But my friend Quinlan up in Iwate Prefecture, he often goes hiking through the mountains and he has seen quite a few bears recently. He saw a few bears at a distance, which must be pretty unnerving because there's no wall or anything between him and the bear. I think it was like about 100 or 200 yards away and he saw it. From what I understand, the bears aren't too aggressive here. There's two types of bears in Japan, black bears and brown bears. And I can't remember which one is the more aggressive. I think it's the brown bear, and that is only in Hokkaido. And they are far less pleasant. They're quite huge and they will rip your head off. And that's a good reason to be careful in Hokkaido. I think there was a news article. We often have bears come up as a topic, don't we? There was an article about some bears harassing a town in Hokkaido a few weeks back. and they kept harassing the townsfolk because the townsfolk couldn't be bothered to pay to have like bear hunters come in anymore because it was really expensive. So they said, right, we're not paying you. And the hunters just went, all right, fuck you then. And then the bears came up and started like ripping the town to pieces. And they're like, oh, crap, because it's like $100,000 for like 3 months to hire bear hunters. But no, they are there. And it's certainly a reason why I'm always a little bit of a pussy when it comes to walking in the mountains alone. I don't do it.
Pussy? I don't think I've ever heard you use that word. It shocked me.
Shocked you?
Absolutely shocked me.
That's because I'm staring at a cat. There's a little...
Oh, that's why.
I've got a cat the other side of the room. Not a real cat.
Go cat there.
Yeah, no, I don't want to come across a bear. Do I look like the sort of person that could take on a bear? No. No is the answer.
No. Talk it to death, you big chatty patty. Claire says, hi, Chris and Pete. I'm always in a good mood on Thursday mornings. Having listened to the podcast on my walk to work and more recently whilst working from home during lockdown. Well, you got two doses of us every week. So now you can enjoy Mondays. As the old adage goes, Mondays are shit. I used to live in Fukuoka, says Claire. So I particularly enjoy Pete's appreciation of Kyushu. I'm always surprised that it's not visited by more people on holiday. It's a great place. It is, Claire. I agree. I was interested to hear your discussion a few weeks ago about YouTube videos and soundtrack songs that were under copyright. At least my question for Chris and Pete too, if he likes. Which song would you most like to have used as a soundtrack in one of your videos but were unable to because of copyright issues? Keep up good work and best wishes from Edinburgh. Claire, what song would you go for, Chris, on one of your... which video would it be and what song would you choose?
Well, it depends on the context, doesn't it? But I'm currently working on a video with Natsuki where he's a pirate. We're going to like an island and we're doing some stuff there, digging up some treasure. And I want the song, which is called He's a Pirate, and it's from Pirates of the Caribbean. It's the classic Pirates of the Caribbean soundtrack. And that would just go so well with Natsuki dressed up in his little cheap pirate's costume. That one. That'd be amazing. Can't do it though. Massive copyright issues. So that won't be happening. What about you?
I think but maybe the Skyrim theme. Actually, it's probably not that badly.
It's pretty much the same, isn't it?
It's actually quite good, like video game soundtracks. The DSX one, I think you probably wouldn't get a copyright strike for that because presumably it gets streamed so many times. Who was the guy who did the Going for Gold / Batman themes / who's like the most famous sort of British soundtrack guy?
Soundtrack guy.
Is he even British? He's probably not even British, is he? He did Batman Return, all of the Batman ones. He works with Christopher Nolan quite a lot.
I
interviewed him once and forgot to turn the microphone on. Didn't broadcast the interview. I've only done that twice. Once with him and once with Borat in character.
You interviewed Sacha Baron Cohen as Borat.
Yeah, he. I actually did get a recording of it on backup, but you had to submit your questions beforehand so he could come up with witty kind of in character jokes, effectively. Mm. So, but he hilariously kind of noticed that was from the northeast of England, and he started trying to riff on my stupid accent, and he didn't do particularly well. He didn't fare particularly well, hilariously. Very, very talented man. But yeah, I'd probably go for the theme tune to, I think, Crysis 2. The video game Crysis 2 has got an incredibly dramatic, horrible, unnerving theme to that. That's what I would use.
A song that literally no one can remember. I've played Crysis 2. I've played it. I don't know how it goes. I can't remember it. It's no He's a Pirate. While you were talking about Sacha Baron Cohen, I did look up the guy. It's Hans Zimmer. Of course it's Hans Zimmer, the most famous Hans Zimmer.
Yes.
Legend.
Got the keys Hans to my Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer. Legend. I must say, you've got so many cool stories of all the celebrities you've interviewed. I think we are due a spin-off podcast called Pete's Gossip, and it's just you talking about all the altercations and situations you got yourself in with all these celebrities over the years, because there's some pretty good stories which we can't talk about right now, but you should do it. Cash in. Doesn't matter now. You've lost your job.
All of my stories are very boring.
You're not a radio DJ anymore.
I'll do, but I am open to doing a tell-all tabloid exposure on one of the most popular British Japanese vloggers, if anyone's listening.
Oh, God.
What's and all?
We got one from Benjamin, moving on swiftly. Hi, guys. My name is Benjamin from Alberta, Canada. I was wondering, why do you think traditional arcades are so much more popular in Japan rather than the West, not counting those arcades that you win for tickets and get prizes, as I call it, kid casinos or gambling for kids? Benjamin, why is this? Winning arcades that you win for tickets and prizes? I don't think we have those in the UK anymore, those arcades.
We do have those tickets ones, but you probably not been to a British arcade for a very long time.
I
used to go to a festival in Butlins, and they still had those little things. You have them on Brighton Pier and stuff. I'm surprised they even kind of still exist, because they're so mechanical and prone to break down. Interesting.
Japanese arcades, though, they're so good. They are very good.
But a lot of it is kind of really not English. I love my soccer. I'd really like to get into this card-based football management sim that blokes just sit there with their cigarettes and just smoke away, and they buy their cards, and they obviously they spend a load of money on the cards. It's a little bit like a managerial offline analog version of the FIFA Ultimate Team sort of thing. So you spend a lot of money on these packaged cardboard cards, and they comprise of your little players. And you move them around, put them into different formations, and play matches against people online. This is a fascinating little thing.
Where is that? Are you talking? Is that in Japan or is that back?
That's in Japan. So you see the cards all over the place in every sort of secondhand kind of card collecting shop. You see them, and you put them in formation, and you play football matches against people online. And I once saw a man, and no word of a lie, he was dressed in a full tracksuit, and I can't help but think this man, older man, in a full tracksuit playing what can only be described as this football management sim, genuinely thought he was a football manager. And I honestly, if it wasn't all in Japanese, it's just something that's never translated over into Britain. I think we'd really get a kick out of it if there was some kind of, patch you could put on the ROM or patch you could put on the system to make it turn it into English. Because I'd love to play it.
Absolutely. I mean, Japanese game arcades are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. Like on Sendai High Street alone, the arcade, there's just so many games arcades going along it. And I don't know why they are still popular, really. I think it's just the idea of socializing out, having fun. A lot of the machines are still quite old, a little bit outdated, like those zombie shooter games from like the year 2003, where everything's a bit clunky and rubbish, but it's still kind of fun because the guns click in a realistic way. The only thing I really play when I go to them is the Mario Kart game, where you can like sit down with other people, like three or four people, and play a Mario Kart race. That's always so much fun. And then they've got the crane games as well, which are big business, even though I don't think I've ever won a crane game in Japan. Have I? And neither have you. Have you won?
Oh, no, incorrect. I am flipping great at them. You may have seen me on one of Chris's videos losing, but I I'm pretty good at winning some actually quite problematically large presents.
Problematically large.
I've won like a whole packet of those. You know those crisp. You know those kind of like long sort of Weetor crisps you can buy. Advertised by Ampan Man, I think, or maybe the cat. They're like long crisps in a packet. I've won like big packs of those before, and just try to just get as through as many as I can before I go home.
I remember when we were in Osaka, I watched you spend like 1,000 yen, like a whole $10, a whole £8 trying to win some sort of teddy bear and failing. Yeah. And that footage made the cut of the music video, the kind of Blade Runner-esque music video montage at the end of our video.
Check
it out. Go watch Pete Lee's. And the phrase "Why I Man" is rather prolific. But you've got to go though. There's nothing more fun than going to a bar, doing a bit of Norman Hordai, having a drink, having some food, then going to an arcade, a little bit drunk, messing around on Mario Kart, playing the drum game where you bang the drum in time, and then going to karaoke. That is the dream. That is the best possible night out you can have in
Bloody
Japan.
Bloody good night out.
Like a movie. We got one last message from Lazarus, which is a very cool name. I wish I was called Lazarus. Hello, gentlemen. My name's Lazarus, and I'm from Perth, Australia. I've been a fan of your channel on podcast for a while. It's one of my many reasons why I chose to visit Japan back in 2017 and 2019. My question for you today is, will we ever see Risotto, Natsuki, and Pete in the same video? I'd imagine it would be amazing, like seeing the Avengers, or perhaps a little bit chaotic, like Suicide Squad. But regardless, I'm loving the content. Keep it up. And for Pete, I find your voice soothing to listen to. Not sure why.
Yes!
But have you been involved or considered any voice acting roles? I would love to hear your voice in some wacky RPG adventure game. Thanks for answering my questions. Kind regards, Lazarus. Have you done any voice acting, Pete? We know you have. I think you have.
I have done some voice acting, unsuccessfully, I would say, but I'm always looking for that AAA title to pop up in as an NPC. Hello there. You in my garden? Get out
What's
of my
that?
Garden. I don't know.
Is that a West Country accent?
It would have to be the only video games that would allow someone with my accent, if I didn't do an RP, which is my only other accent I can do. It's like fantasy, isn't it? Like the only kind of like British roles are like fantasy. So it would have to be like a Skyrim kind of dodgy NPC that glitches out into the scenery and is never seen again. But I've always wanted to be in a video game. That's always been my, I sort of gravitated towards developers in the industry just because I just want to know how to get into doing voice acting. But primarily, first and foremost, you have to be an actor. So right. That kind of sees me off massively. But it's difficult. It's more difficult than you think, and it's more difficult that people respect. That's always been the dream. Always been the dream.
Impressive. I would like to see you in the upcoming Resident Evil game as a disgruntled farmer, because you just...
Man, it comes out the wall. Get off my plums.
Brilliant. That would be it. Pete's very good voice acting. I forget you have a good voice, even though I hear it every week.
It's not
twice
voice acting,
now.
Though. It's just voiceover, isn't it? Voiceovers, mate.
I just have a good voice. I don't know how...
Cheers!
That's the thing with voice actors. I guess it's just a gift, because it's not... Is it something you can learn, or do you just wake up one morning and be like, I can do a voice, like...
I think voiceovers are a lot easier than voice acting. Voice acting is acting, but voiceovers are something that I did for a long time for TV stations. I was for my ITV2 audition, which I got and had that job for a long time. Regarding my accent, the producer who was interviewing me said, Pete, I'll level with you. We just want someone who sounds a bit stupid. So, and I wasn't proud enough not to take their money.
God,
that was good money. Wow. God, that was good money.
You had the last laugh. You had the last laugh. And of course, you do work for IGN sometimes as well, right? The biggest games website.
Yes, I play like a shouting man character. My shouting man character is very popular with video game characters. I'm doing some work for Rainbow Six pretty soon. I'm pretty excited about that. Rainbow Six Siege, which is a game I've not played a lot of because it looks a bit technical. But then I started playing it. Fuck me, that's a game. Brilliant. And I'm not saying that just because I'm doing some bit of work with them.
What are you doing?
I used to play Rainbow Six back in the day. Oh, it was just a little promo for something they've got on. But very into it.
That's awesome. Well, if somebody's listening, any of you guys listening, and you work in the video games industry, please give Pete a job as a disgruntled farmer.
Cheers,
or
mate.
Other roles. Anything. He'll take anything.
Get off my plums! They're my bloody plums, they are! Get off!
Oh,
there's
man.
There's no one in the office, thank God.
I'm going to have to think up some ideas of how we can utilise your voice in something. As for the previous question, Natsuki, Risotto and Pete in the same video, I don't know. Maybe we can fit them all into the aforementioned Day in the Life of a Japanese Hitman episode, if that happens. And if you've got any ideas, ladies and gentlemen, about what we should do with that idea, or Pete being in a video game, let us know, as always, with your comments, stories and questions to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week to do it all over again. And by next week, I mean Thursday. And I'm still learning the new release schedule.
Still learning. Still learning. I like it though.
I'm getting there. But for now, guys, see you on Thursday. Enjoy the next few days and have a great start to the week. Take care. See you Thursday. Bye for now.
Ta-ta.
was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.